Okay. Oh, Lord, we just thank you so much, Father, for this wonderful day you've made. You know, we prayed this morning, Lord, and you answered our prayer by giving us a good afternoon. It ended with the clear sky and sunshine. And most of the afternoon was spotty sunshine here and there, but it was nice. And Lord, we thank you that it has all moved out and we're not going to have any more rain for quite some time. And Lord, we thank you for that. And Lord, we just thank you that the people in the areas of flooding gets all the people out of the way of the floods. And we ask and we pray that the water goes down quick enough for the farmers to get the crops here. And Father, we ask that in the Midwest, the same thing happens, that you suspend this rain and allow the farmers to get in the fields to plant the crops. And Lord, we thank you for doing that. We ask for your protection upon our president and his cabinet in the White House, Lord, that they would expose all the evil that's been going on for all these many years, that it would go all the way to the top. And Lord, we thank you for doing that as well. We know you're doing a job for us, Lord, to give us some relief for the first 3.5 years from any persecution from the government. And we thank you for doing that, Lord, to get us in place and to get this revival going and discipleship going and evangelism, all the things that you have us doing, Lord. And we thank you for doing that. Thank you, Lord, for the provisions to get everything in place before the wilderness, before we go into the wilderness. Thank you for the anointing upon the man child that'll give him the wisdom to help us, Lord. And Lord, we just ask and we pray for your anointing upon us tonight, that we would discuss and to see what you want us to talk about tonight, whether it be the God's vaccine book or whether it be something else, Lord. It's all up to you. We're being led by your spirit. And as your spirit leads, we'll follow. And we thank you, Lord, for being our God. Thank you, Lord, that we do have an open heaven. And I thank you, Father, for the authority that you've given us over everything, dominion over everything. And since we have dominion over everything, I command that communications on everybody's computer and phone that's listening in and participating be healed, be no more problems with it, be a strong signal and able to hear and talk whenever you want them to, Lord. And I thank you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. Teach us, Lord, to speak only as you have us to speak. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay. Anybody got any prayer requests? Wake up, Missy. Yeah, Phil, go ahead.
Yes, I'd like to for you to pray, Michael, for our family in Ukraine. Okay. A large portion of the family got hit with a sickness, and they think it's COVID. They think that the symptoms are aligning with what has been reported, and it's hit quite a few of our cousins, and one of their uncles, I believe, passed away from this sickness. So they're asking for healing. They're asking for prayer. And as
okay, is this the Galchenko family?
It would be my mom's side.
Okay.
So the Olenek family. Yep.
Okay.
Our cousins, our uncles, our aunts. Yep.
All right. All of them are believers, right?
Yep. Amen.
Okay. Well, praise God, Lord. We do. We lift up Phil's mother's family. Lord, you know, you've given us authority. We have an open heaven, and I thank you for it. It means anywhere we pray, whatever we pray, Lord, you're going to send your angels out to them. And we do right now. We ask and we pray that you send your healing angels out there right now to the family of Fields out in the Ukraine that have been experiencing the attacks of the enemy upon them. And Lord, we just praise you for it. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we bind up that enemy, that spirit of infirmity on his family out there. And I command you by the power and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ to leave every person in this family that's in there in the name of Jesus. And all the symptoms leave right now in the name of Jesus. And I command every cell, every organ in their body to be healed by the stripes of Jesus right now in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you that you're going to get the glory and not man. And I praise you and I glorify you for what you're doing in this family right now. And Theo will be able to tell us the great and glorious news that every one of them have been healed by your stripes, Lord. We thank you that the blood of Jesus covers every one of them right now. Then the ones you don't have it will not get it from this point on. And Father, we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that they are all immune. They have God's vaccine right now being administered to them in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that your wings have covered every one of them right now in the name of Jesus with your healing power. Praise you, Father, for their complete healing and deliverance from the spirit of infirmity. In Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all believe that? Praise God forevermore. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I praise you, Lord, for what you're doing in that family right now. Amen. Let me let these people in. Some come to church late. What's the matter with y'all? Hi, y'all. Hi, Tracy. Hi, Joe. Hey, girl. Good to see you. Look at you. Come on up in here. Yeah. Who else was in here? That was Barbara. Hi, Barbara. Hey, Ronnie, Zach. How you doing, buddy? Good to see you. Pastor Joe, how you is? How you doing? Everything all right? That's cool. Amen, brother. All right. All right. Anybody else got a prayer request? Yeah, there you go. I wish everybody in the world had one of those. Go ahead, Jeanette. I'll get right back to you, Missy.
I have a praise. You prayed about flooding. My son and his wife live up in Midland, Michigan, where there's great flooding. However, where they live, they weren't flooded. And they had just left New Orleans several years ago when they had Katrina down there, and their street wasn't flooded except down the road a ways. But so they got out of that flooding and they moved up to Midland, and he was very aware of flooding. So he checked things out, I guess, pretty thoroughly. And so where they live, they're fine and they're not affected. You know, they don't have any flooding in their home or their property. So I praise God for that.
Praise God.
I don't know. I noticed Stephen hasn't been on last week and tonight. I don't know whether I didn't talk to him, but what happened is that his wife, Helen, I think it was Thursday night when we were all on, she went to the garage and went down the steps and misstepped over the dog and twisted her right foot. And it ended up a small fracture on the top of her, the bone on her foot, I guess. She has a sprain and something else. I forgot what it was. They took her to urgent care, and they took an x-ray and found the slight fracture there. And so they gave her an air boot to wear. She has to wear it for 2 months and go back. And she went to the orthopedic doctor, and he said surgery wasn't needed. Just wear the air boot. and come back in a month to have an x-ray to see how it's healing up. So he's probably pretty busy with her because she won't be able to do a lot of things that she normally would do. And so you could remember them in prayer that it heals up fine. You know, I think it will. But,
amen.
That's
well,
it.
Lord, we lift up Helen to you, and we thank you, Lord, that your healing power will just flow through her. Lord, place in her bold faith to believe the Word of God, that the Word of God is the healer. That's Jesus. And Lord, we just thank you for it. In the name of Jesus right now, I command that foot to be healed. To be healed.
Oh.
All of it, the fracture. You go back together right now in the name of Jesus. You're not a fracture anymore. You're a whole bone. And I command the pain to leave and the foot to be healed as a testimony to Helen. Lord, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, I do have, thank you. I do have another praise about her. She had on her right arm, up in the upper part of her arm, there was a problem with her skin. And she found out about, I don't know how long ago, but she finally had this area removed because they were suspecting cancer. And it did prove that it was cancer, but they got it all out and they just stitched her up. So she's supposed to get the stitches out, I think, next week. So praise God that, you know, it didn't go any further.
Amen.
They got it all out.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Anyone else? Yeah, Missy, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I shared this morning with the morning prayer meeting. Merle's, if y'all remember, my brother-in-law, Herbie, passed away early this year in January. And Merle's sister, which is Herbie's wife, her name is Shirley. The end of February, beginning of March, she went into a assisted living place. And right before the whole COVID thing broke out. Anyway, Merle's niece Sharon texted me yesterday and said that Shirley fell and broke her hip. And today she had, well, let me get back. They won't let any, you know, anybody in to see her. And she had surgery today. And Sharon said that she hadn't seen her mom since, you know, March, right before the whole lockdown happened. And I was afraid of that. And so anyway, Sharon said, you know, we talked to her earlier today and she says, I understand, you know, why, you know, that they don't, you know, want anybody in and things to get to spread. And I'm like, oh, this is just really trying my patience, seeing everybody go through these things. And I'm like, Lord, please do something about this now. Please come and anoint your man child. But anyway, wake people up. But anyway, so we heard from Sharon, and she said that the surgery went well, and she was back in her room, and she was talking, and the doctor said that they put two screws in her hip. She didn't need a hip replacement or anything. They didn't anticipate that she would need that. But so I think they said that she should go home Saturday, I think, or something. Actually, not home, but back to the assisted living. They have a rehab place there. So anyway, it's this has been really hard, you know, seeing everything that people are going through, and they're going through what they're going through because they don't have faith, you know. They aren't believing God, you know. And it's hard for me to not just go, blah, 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 you know, and just say, you know, you wouldn't, Merle hears it more than more than anybody else, but so I'm just, thank you, Lord, that Shirley is okay, and I thank you, Lord, for healing her up quickly and getting her on her feet, Lord, and watching over her and keeping her and protecting her. And thank you, Lord, for using this. Lord, I know that you're using it. I thank you, Lord, that you're using all this COVID stuff to get your people's attention, Lord, and for them to cry out to you and not depend on men for their protection and think, you know, that they can protect them. Men, the government, Babylon is not their savior. You are, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for opening their eyes to see, giving them a spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of you, Lord, and enlightening the eyes of their heart, Lord, and just helping them to see, Lord. And Father, I just ask you to help me to let my words be few about what all's going on, and to be patient and have my faith unto myself, but be just use wisdom, Lord, and you show me, you know, when I need to speak up and when I need to speak faith. And I don't want anybody to feel at all like I'm condemning them, because that's not my intent or anything. I just speaking faith to them, Lord, and I just thank you, Lord, for giving me the wisdom to be long suffering and forbearing others, Lord. And thank you and I praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for patience. And Lord, teaching us how to be weak through the weak.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord, in your timing, it's going to be awesome. You're going to bring a great model, and I can't wait. I just wish you would hurry up.
Yeah, Lord, give me patience. I want patience right now. All right. Anyone else?
That's called hurry up and wait.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah, I raised my hand.
Okay, Malcolm, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I was just going to, I'm really identifying with what Missy is saying, because I think we all get to hear this, but I hear very lengthy conversations and rationale as to why, you know, all the different doctor situations and all the pickles that people find themselves in when they are taking all these conflicting medications. And, oh my goodness, it's such agony. My big challenge is to keep my mouth shut. Just keep my mouth shut. Anyway, I want to be weak to the weak, but and wait for the door to open, because if the door isn't open, then you can make a lot of enemies, even though you want to help.
Too many times we want to bust that door open, don't we?
Kick it.
Yeah, kick
it. Sledgehammer.
Absolutely. Take a shotgun and blow the locks off that bad boy.
Unfortunately, we're using we want to use our fleshly stuff to do that.
Yeah.
Instead of doing it by the Spirit.
Yeah. And Lord, we just thank you for understanding here at some point in time. Jesus. All right. Anyone else? Judy, you got something? You want to sing a song? Oh, Judy. Go ahead, Pat.
Yeah, I was, this morning I woke up about.
Praise God.
I thought it was great too. But I woke up and I was in the battle already, and I thought, well, at least we could wait till I wake up. But it seemed like the Lord was showing me that it's time to start praying in specific to for certain things, and when I see them come up, to deal with them immediately and pray against them and take them down by faith. And so I've been kind of doing that through the day. And I noticed I've been getting emails or a flip on a YouTube channel or something like that. And there's the latest situation that I've seen is that there's certain senators or politicians that are asking us for help for, I think it's a senator in Wyoming or something like that. And I think what's happening is the money makers or the money holders of the deep state are trying to pull the same thing that Bloomberg did in West Virginia. And what they do is they go in, they find an opposition candidate to the Republican or the conservative, and then they flood that opposition candidate with all kinds of money and all kinds of professional ads and that whole thing. And then they pick on these small places and they win over one vote, one person, one Senate seat at a time. And I think that's what their next strategy is, that they know that the current administration has the Senate as its wall, and that has really protected Trump, and that's why he went out in the midterms, I guess, or whatever it was, and really focused on the Senate, shoring the Senate up or whatever. Well, to me, I think what's happening is the moneymakers caught that, people caught that in the deep state, and now they're focusing on the weak areas in our Senate. So I felt number one to start praying about that and donate if you can donate or whatever, but I think the biggest thing is to pray specifically that those attacks and that plan will be reversed, and that on the political end that it will be reversed. The other thing is, as matter of fact, I'll just pray about it right now while I'm rambling. Father, I thank you for opening up our eyes, showing us these things, Lord. The deep state does not sleep. Those that oppose your will and oppose your purpose in the world do not sleep. They're constantly moving, constantly thinking, they're constantly battling. They constantly come back as lame brain of ideas as they have. They're always throwing them out there and attacking. And Lord, I just pray specifically for this current attack on the Senate seats of America. They're picking, picking weak locations where there's not a lot of population. They can influence a lot of people, a small amount of people to accomplish a large thing. So I pray in specific, Lord, for this senator that is trying to get reelected. I think it's in Wyoming, maybe Montana. But those areas where the population is low and it's easier to sway with a fewer amount of votes. So I just ask that, Lord, that you would reverse that situation. I bind those spirits right now that are motivating that area up there. I take them down. I bind them. I forbid them for being able to communicate, being able to take that seat. Lord, would you place angels there and protect those Senate seats in that area, Lord? We thank you, Father, for your strength, your wisdom, your guidance, and your grace for us to pray for these things. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord, we just believe that too. We believe, Lord, that this is going to be a swamp draining exercise come November. Lord, that you're going to put Republicans in the House and in the Senate to take over the complete Congress in Jesus' name. And we thank Amen. You for it, Father.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm believing for it. Thank you, Jesus. And I was thinking about, actually, I popped on another video about these deep underground bases. I know that maybe every, you know, a lot of people are not aware of it. It's a pretty outrageous concept to consider. But anyway, I realized that that whole scenario doesn't stop. There is a battle going on, and I think that it's a worldwide battle right now. Not only I think it's the devil is trying to set things up for this one world government type of thing, which we all know that it is coming anyway. I think obviously, I think that the Lord is giving us time to accomplish His purposes in this short time before. But nevertheless, there's still battles to be fought, and there's still people in danger. There's still, you know, warfare happening, and the soldiers need protection, and they. It's funny listening to the people that are in the midst of that. So I've heard a couple people, usually in the military. Every one of them are Christians. It's like when you get to see and witness and see with your own eyes the immensity of the evil that is being that is happening on that level. It's like you're forced to embrace God. I mean, you're just, it's so vivid. And those people, at whatever level they're at, they need our prayer and our support, just like President Trump needs our prayer and our support, because he's functioning at one level. He's functioning at the purpose that God has created him for this time to function at. But there are obviously many things that he doesn't see. Obviously, he is a smart guy. He knows a lot. He's got a lot of support around him and that sort of thing. But he doesn't know everything. And the Lord is going to, I believe, provide that information to us. And when we catch wind of that and we see the need for that, it's God calling us to prayer for him to fight those battles and to take down the opposition that is coming up against him. So I just felt, you know, kind of got out of bed, and the Lord put me in a fighting spirit this morning. So I just wanted to share that. Encourage everybody to jump in the game.
Amen. Yeah, we've been praying for all of that here locally quite often. Surrounding, you know, I saw a picture of one of the military guys bringing out one of the kids. And he was just broken, man. I mean, he was just broken. It's some horrendous things that they're witnessing in those tunnels down there. And it's going to take God to bring them out of all of that, you know. All right. Anyone else? Thank you, Pat. Anyone else? Okay. What about a testimony or a praise report? Yeah, Joe, go ahead. Let me see if I can unmute you. You're going to have to unmute. Yeah, there you go. You got it.
Got it?
Yes, sir.
Today, I had to take my wife back to the doctor. She'd been having trouble with veins in her one leg. And this day, they just took us right in when we got there and took us right in the room, and we didn't have to wait. They went and took pictures of my wife's leg, and they came back, and the doctor came out, and I met the doctor, and he says, well, you can go home free. So they didn't have to do anything. Her leg was all healed up.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
And all the veins in her leg was all gone. And, you know, what they had done, you know, with laser beam, why, it was all back in order.
Thank you, Lord.
And only Jesus does things like that.
Yep. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Now, we got two pages on my 21-inch screen. That means we got 27 people in here. And if you want to say something, you'll have to hit your blue hand up thing for me to see it. I can't see you just waving. That don't work anymore. Okay, Denny's got his hand up. Go ahead, Denny.
Hi, get rid of it. Okay. It's me. I want to share something. I've been listening in the kitchen, but I've been listening. And I want to share something about my sister, Joy. We've been really praying for her and her husband, Art. And they got rid of everything they owned, a nice, nice house and a lot of things. She was into a lot of nice things. And they just got rid of it all, got a camper. And they just basically want to travel from camper to campsite to campsite, and, you know, stay here and there a while and work the time while they're there, so they give free nights and stuff. But she had this dream, a really good dream, and the Lord really, really helped Denny and I in sharing her the meaning of that dream. And she texted back and said, wow, Deb. But anyway, first of all, they have been reading Real Good News. She's been reading to Art. I started sharing her chapter 18 and 19 because they're just so good. And I know they hadn't read the book yet, and she'd had it for a while, and she started reading it, and they really like it. And, I tried to tell her about how things are here, how God speaks through dreams, and told her things in that dream, just pretty amazing, all about what God is doing in their life and leading them. And she was just so amazed and thankful. But anyway, she's so changed because she's so up and down before about the teachings here and UBM. And one time she'd be all hyped up about it, and then again she'd be like, oh, I don't know, and she wouldn't read anything. But now she's they quit going to church because of all the things they were coming against and going on. They knew weren't right, so they just pulled away from a church a couple months ago, haven't been going. And she knows just to go and just seek the Lord and be in the Word. But then today she texted me and said she appreciated what we shared about her dream, and that she's as they're camping in different sites, she wants to have women's Bible studies. I mean, she's always done that. So, but she wants to use David's books. So I was so blessed to hear her say that. She goes, I'm done with Priscilla Shire and Beth Moore, and, you know, I just there's just something deeper. I want to start using those books. So I just want to keep praying for her that this will continue. God will keep doing this work in her, and if she's going to do that. But I think God will just do what he wants to do in her. So I'm just glad for what's happening. And Art, who was really more against than her, is paying attention and listening and reading. So God's just doing the work, and I'm just so blessed by his answering our prayers. And
amen. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Lord, get Art involved so he'll be the teacher.
Yes.
That'd be awesome. Exactly. Thank you, Father, for doing that. Let him take the lead like he's supposed to be. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you for just pulling him in and letting him just get saturated with the word. In the name of Jesus, Father, and we just praise you for that. Yes. Is Jar the one that came up and visited?
Yes.
A couple of summers ago?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. Yes.
He retired. Yeah, he retired, and he did a lot of work on their land, pulling down trees, cutting down trees, clearing all the forest they had, beautiful land they have, pond, and I think they just got tired of that. I think it's the Lord, though. So,
amen. All right.
Doing the work. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Joe.
I wanted to share. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Judy had sent me some of those cards, you know, with the 91st Psalm on it. Well, as I was leaving the doctor's office, the Spirit of God said, you take that card out of your pocket and you leave it with the lady, you know, the nurse. And when I handed it to her, she looked at it. Oh, she says, that I need. So I rejoiced that I was able to share part of what you're doing down there with that doctor's facility.
Amen.
I did that today, too.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, God's vaccine works. And there's no side effects.
Right.
Thank you, Lord. Okay. Thank you, Joe.
Yes.
All right. Anyone else? Yeah, go ahead, Pia.
Actually, I've been hearing a lot about contact tracing in the last few days. And I was kind of wondering whether it would be, I don't even know how to phrase it, but whether it would be right for me to believe that if they're putting all those people into place to start tracing people who have been in contact with COVID, who've been sick with COVID, and they're basically going to come to your house and make you quarantine and do this and that, if it's all right to believe that none of that would apply to me, my family, and my loved ones, if they're going to start sending people out there to interfere with their lives and quarantining us.
Absolutely. What you can do is what we do, and that is to pray that they take you completely out of the records.
Amen.
Let's take you completely out. That's what we do. Thank you, Lord, for taking all the Galchenkos out of the U.S. records, and none of the authorities even know they exist.
Amen. It is done in the name of
and
Jesus.
I pray that for all of us in Jesus' name.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Yeah, I typically find that I don't have a hard time with believing that God can do a lot, but when they start getting into details of how, you know, if they decide they find a reason to that you've been in contact, or they just some nosy neighbor, like we had somebody delivered from a hospital across the street, and I felt bad because I said to Theo, I said, they better not have COVID, and I didn't mean that because I'm afraid of COVID, but I didn't want the neighborhood to be under a watch, but then I kind of repented for that because God is all powerful, and regardless of whether they had COVID or not, our home is under his protection.
Amen.
It is. And if you want to pray for your area there, all of your friends there, you can do that also. And just hide your neighborhood. Unless you got some kind of reprobates living in there. I'm just saying.
We don't know
them
yet.
Yeah, we don't know. We live in a townhome community, so there's there's the quiet ones that are nice and pleasant, and then there's the ones that you're kind of like, eh.
Yeah. Find another house somewhere. It's got a neighbor. Listen, I'll tell you about a dream that happened many years ago. This was up here where we were here in Tennessee. And it was that the whole area around our house was covered in UN troops. And Sandy had the dream. And she was looking through the eyes of these soldiers. And on the lot where our house was, they couldn't see a house there. It was like it was an empty lot they were looking at. And God can do that. He can make them think anything. There's not a house there or not anybody in it. And when in fact, in all reality, at that time, there were eight people living in that house. So he can do that. God can do it. He showed us. He said, we can do that. Amen. So that's what we do. We just pray that God just makes us invisible in the world. And he'll do it.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Like Angelica said in the chat, blanket invisibility for everybody.
Yes, amen.
Amen.
All right. Anyone else? Unless you got something else, Alana. Okay. All right. Hi, Stephen. How you doing, brother?
Hi, Michael. How you doing?
I am so blessed, brother. You don't know how blessed I am?
Beyond belief.
Okay. Yeah. Beyond my wildest dreams, brother.
Wildest dreams. That's it.
Yeah. And I got some wild dreams, too. All right. Anyone else? How's Miss Helen doing?
Well, she's doing better. She broke her foot a couple days ago.
Yeah, I heard. We heard. But we've been praying for her.
Oh yeah, she's getting around now. She's the pain, a lot of it's gone away, and she's getting around on it. So they said you didn't need to put a cast on or anything like that. So it's just a smaller fraction in one of the foot bones.
Okay, go ahead, Theo.
Well, Alana and I had a question. There is a verse that says to greet each other with a holy kiss. Can you get into that?
Don't even try it.
Oh man.
We got social distancing, members.
No. So can we go okay, into that question?
Second wet and slobbery.
Go ahead, Phil. What's the question?
It's in a couple of spots. 2 Corinthians 13:12 is the first one that comes up. We were just kind of wondering how do you guys interpret it? We grew up in a in a culture where it was taken literally.
Everybody's kissing everywhere. You know?
And if you don't kiss on the lips, they become offended and think that you are that you're a germaphobe or something and that you're less than a Christian.
Well, if it's the culture, yes, go ahead and do it. In Arkansas, a man kisses a man, that's not a good thing.
It's Christianity.
Okay.
It's not a culture thing. That's the way they preach it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if you feel comfortable doing that, go right ahead, brother. I mean, we don't put people under the law.
It says, salute one another with a holy kiss. Salute all the brethren with a holy kiss. Salute one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ salute you. What does that mean? There's three different verses in the New Testament that says to salute each other with a holy kiss.
Why don't we do this? Why don't we take that into consideration and come back another day after we get through studying that? Because I don't know. It has to be on the cheeks, Theo. It can't be lip to lip. That ain't gonna work. You know what I'm saying? How do the men kiss? Do they just like you see in the movies? They just kiss on the cheek or something?
Some of them are pretty intense.
Really? I might have a problem with that. I don't know.
No, you know what I mean? There's the peck, which is you're considered basically a weak believer if it's a peck. If it's a good solid kiss, you're a good Christian.
Well, listen to me. That sounds like a little like the law, and the Lord don't want
now that. Now that I say it out loud,
yeah.
And that's why.
Phil muted her before she could get that out. Atta boy. Get that authority, brother.
That's why we're asking, because the churches we attended, it was taken for literal. Even though over the years, as a child, if my grandma kissed me on the lips or my mother did, that's fine. It was men, women, women. You never did, you know, the sexes never mingled with that. But if I, like, for example, I took my son over to grandma's house, and I said, give grandma a kiss. And so he was too busy, and he gave grandma his cheek. And she, of course, jokingly kisses his cheek and says, oh, you hypocrite. Anuka, give me a real kiss. And so she made him kiss her on the lips, which grandma and baby is fine. But I know the same message happens between adults when in church I greet a woman that's not related to me directly. And if I kiss her on the cheek, it's considered that I'm being a new age Christian, and I refuse to acknowledge the old-fashioned kiss the woman on the lips, and it's the holy kiss. And so I realize that as we speak about it, that it's a law thing in these churches. Yeah. So we're curious as to how it's interpreted when it's not under the law.
Yeah, well, I'll put that in the same category as head coverings. You know, it's something that God has told us to do, we probably need a teaching on it, and I'm not the one, because I don't, you know what I'm saying? I'm from Arkansas, brother. But yeah, I think what we ought to do is take it into consideration and study those verses and come back and talk about it when we got a little more knowledge. Unless somebody here is an expert on it, and Leon looks like he is. Go ahead, Leon.
Well, I kiss the brethren every once in a while.
Oh, my goodness.
I kissed Don on the forehead, you know, and I've kissed other people on the cheek, and I actually even kiss the ladies sometimes on the cheek, and it's not in a sexual way at all. It's just a gratitude, and just to let them know I love them.
We got a file started on you, brother. I'm just saying. Well, that's good. I mean, if you feel comfortable doing it, Leon, that's fine. And the people that you kiss.
Well, they always freak out when I do it, but I don't care.
Well, okay. All right. There we go. All right. Who's next? Dave, was you next? I got 14. But you've raised a firestorm here, Lana and Theo. That's okay. We'll try to work through it. Go ahead, Dave.
I would consider the time when Paul said that and the culture, because in the Jewish culture, especially in the Middle East, kissing people on the cheek is not uncommon. It's still common in the Middle East, you know. So you're looking at the Middle Eastern culture with that. Not that it's nothing wrong with it in any way. And if the churches do it and they feel comfortable with it, that's great. Don't condemn people. I don't think that's the place to go, like Michael's saying, because it's not one of those things that you can make somebody, you know, most of us, well, if we were to meet in a room, I don't think you would see a lot of kissing, just because we're not really comfortable with each other doing that. We would just be trying to get comfortable being with each other in the first place, and just because it's a new social realm. So whenever you enter a church, you pretty much have to feel out what's socially acceptable for that environment. So if that environment you're talking about kisses on the lips, and if you're comfortable with that and everybody else is okay with it, there's nothing wrong there. But at the same time, if you go to another church and they don't really get that huggy-feely closey, but they still have a fire for each other and a love, well, you know, the love's there. It's just not shown in that that affectionate way. You know, you just have to understand the culture, and I go with what Michael's saying on that. We don't want to push it as legalism, like, oh, you got to do this, you know. But if people do get comfortable with kissing each other on the cheek or hugging each other, I mean, that's great, you know.
That might be something that goes, you know, a little bit later. Don't feel bad about asking that question, y'all. Really don't, because it's a good question. It's one that we haven't even covered here in the 8 years that I've, 9 years that I've been here. Praise God. But now, look who brings it in. Go ahead. Go ahead, Lana. What you got to say, girl?
For yourself. As we're talking about this, I reviewed the three verses where it's found, because I've got this handy Bible app that can search the entire Bible. And I noticed that when they talk about the holy kiss, it is only mentioned during a salute, which is typically at the end of the passage, or one of them is in the middle of the passage, and the entire passage talks about saluting so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. So it's not even a command. It's not a teaching. It's a form of closing or opening the passage because it was a letter. And so this tells me, and it's probably something I can walk away from this conversation and call it done, is that I was in Greece. They kiss each other on each cheek every time people meet in the street. Businessmen, co-workers, colleagues. In Ukraine and Russia, I'm sure it's also a common thing to kiss each other in the cheek. And our Pentecostal churches here, at least in the Slavic community, decided if they're going to follow every word of the Bible, they're going to make it law. And they did this kissing thing that we grew up with. But it makes quite a bit of sense for me to interpret it as, hey, you guys, it was a closing to a passage. It's common in the Middle East. And I think the holy kiss meant, hey, greet each other, and we're greeting each other in Christ. And thus it's called the holy kiss, instead of, for some reason, they interpreted it as, you got to do it on the lips. Because the more we talk about it, the less sense that tradition makes, and the more sense it makes based on what's coming at me right now.
Okay, give us those scriptures while you're there.
Sure. 2 Corinthians 13:12.
Yep.
1 Thessalonians 5:26. And okay. Romans 16:16.
We got Thank somebody. You. Go Pastor ahead.
Joe. Pastor Joe wants to say something.
Yeah, Pastor Joe, go ahead.
I was on a missionary trip in Ukraine, and I was asked to preach before the church. It was a 400-member Baptist church, and I preached on love. And at the end of the service, here come this Russian lady, close to my age, and she comes speaking in Russian to my interpreter. And I did not understand Russian. And he turned to me, and his name was Alex, and he said, Joe, this sister has asked an unusual question of you. And I said, well, what's the question? She wants to hug and kiss you. And I turned to her and reached out like this, and I knew in my heart I had been kissed by Jesus through that woman. It was a brother, sister, and she really meant it. And I never will forget that. I mean, it was for real. If that woman would walk up to me today, I'd hug her and kiss her right now. Because it was real. It was not fake.
Amen. I don't doubt that at some point in time, even in you know, where we are now, at some point in time, that might happen again, you know, as a love.
Yeah.
Of one another, you know, brother and sister. Yes. But with our culture, with the culture that we have today, even like I was talking about the head covering, we don't make it a law that people wear that the women wear a head covering. That's their choice. And if somebody wants to hug and kiss me, we'll talk about it. No, I'd probably be just like Joe. I'd probably just go ahead and do it.
Yeah, kissing you. You show that love toward them. Yes.
Yeah.
Michael, I'm kissing you tomorrow.
I carry a taser too. I just want to let you know. No, I know it's in there. I've read it numerous times, but it never did dawn on me that we should be doing that as well, you know, because that's in the Middle East and where y'all came from in the Ukraine. That is, I was in Greece too, and I remember that. I remember watching the men, you know, kiss each other in the streets, you know, on the cheek. It wasn't none of this lip-to-lip garbage, but, I mean, love that they were showing. But anyway, go ahead, Julie. I'll get to you in a minute, Pat. I'm trying to make my way around here.
You all made it so much easier because I agree with what everyone was saying, and I think it's right. I think it's a cultural thing at that time, and I also think it is if the spirit is there and it's right, there's no weird stuff going on, but in our culture... It's like there, you know, even the big church I was in, you know, it was just like everyone, you know, it was almost too familiar. You just expected a hug from somebody. And I don't think anyone ever kissed me there, but, you know, the hugs were just too free-flowing. And it was just kind of like a, depending on who it was, it's like, I don't want to hug you. And I don't want you to hug me. Stay away. You know, it was kind of those things. And the scripture that's coming to my mind, too, is in the Song of Solomon. The very first, the second verse there, Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. Oh, that you would kiss me with one of your kisses, kisses of your mouth, for your love is better than wine. And I always kind of looked at that, and I looked at that with, the holy kiss thing, greet everyone with a holy kiss. I kind of looked at that with, that's Jesus' words, and they're pure, and they're holy, and they're words of endearment, and love, and edification, and, you know, all the times when Paul's teaching in his, noisy street. I looked at those like words of encouragement and endearment, and that Paul was always teaching to love earnestly your brothers and sisters, earnestly from the heart. And if you're really loving your brothers and sisters from the heart, there's no weird stuff going on anyway. You're not lusting after your brother and sister. You're not gonna make them feel uncomfortable. You'll know by the spirit if it's appropriate or not.
Right.
And if it's not, if you got a check in your spirit, you're not comfortable about going up to somebody or, you know, doing that, and you're not going to. I just think if the spirit's right, it's not gonna be any big deal. Like what Joe just shared, how it happened for him. Yeah. That's a neat memory. Thanks for sharing that, Joe.
It was very real.
Amen. All right, Pat, go ahead, brother.
I just, it brought back to my mind an experience that I had when I was a young Christian. I was just in the Baptist church environment. Of course, they don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you know, a whole gamut of things of what they don't believe in. So I got a job. The Lord led me. I was in Oklahoma City at the time. I'm sure it won't mean anything to you guys, but the Penn Square Bank collapsed and created a kind of a mini recession there. And there were no jobs anywhere. The Penn Square Bank was a bank that it was so big, it loaned money to other banks around in order to provide loans for whatever. Anyway, the oil business went down, and the place, everything went down, went into a recession there, kind of a mini recession. There were no jobs. I lost my job, and there were no jobs around. And I literally talked this guy into giving me a job. And as I worked there, the Lord was showing me many things of faith and trust and how to walk in his word, and had some examples of some things that the Lord showed me. But to make a long story short, this guy was a member of the of a church. I don't even know what flavor it was, but they were the ones that believed in taking up serpents, and they also believed in the greeting the brethren with a holy kiss. Although I did not know that. I didn't. Maybe I heard it, but it didn't register with me one time. So, and I used to listen to him talk about they would have these meetings, they were somewhat spiritual, I have to say. Some of the examples that they were giving about, you know, preachers standing up in the front of the congregation and you know, it was kind of a hellfire and damnation type thing. And he would wrap his hands up and he would throw a ball of fire to the end of the, you know, I thought, well, I might have to go see this, you know. So things happened in that we were going to a school. We were taking a week-long school in the telephone business. Was learning some equipment or whatever. And on our way back, someplace in Kansas, I think, his group, his church, was coming together in kind of a regional type of meeting. And he said he would like to stop by and go and, you know, go into the church. I said, and go to that meeting. I said, well, sure, I'll go along. And I had my Bible along with me. So I went, and it was a very unusual thing, but because we walked in the church and it was all dark, and there was a few men up on the platform up in front, and we kind of went in and kind of skinnied in between and sat down in a pew and was just waiting. And we were just waiting there in the dark. And I think they must have believed that, you know, nobody, we just come together and nobody would say anything until the Spirit moved somebody. And so then that a preacher or a prophet or whatever get up and start speaking or whatever. So it was a little bit unusual, but evidently, so when we broke up and the lights come on and they dismissed in a prayer, all the men around me started, you know, reaching over and grabbing everybody and giving them a kiss on the lips. And of course, I was a Baptist boy sitting here in the middle of this, in the pews with all these guys around me. And I was kind of holding my Bible in front of me. Sorry. I must have looked funny there. But I was just kind of watching everybody. And one thing I noticed, though, it was only the men kissed the men and the women kissed the women. There wasn't any inner, you know, mixing. Which at the time I thought, well, that's a little unusual. But anyway, I was kind of with my back up against the wall type of thing, scooting down the wall, heading for the exit, and shaking people. People would come and I would reach out and shake their hands. And the men would, like, they would up on their high heels trying to, you know, give me a kiss, and I was kind of backing off type of thing. And I think they thought that since I had my Bible, I must be in with the group. But what I noticed about it, and having been with the group for a while, it was a total religion thing. Because I don't want to sound critical or condescending or anything, but I wasn't able to, I'm not sure if anybody there was saved. I didn't hear anything about the Lord Jesus or, you know, the, it was a little bit weird. But I realized that people, this group of people as wholehearted as they were in their religious, you know, garb, I'm not sure that they knew God. At least they were walking in the ways that they thought God was, and they took it, and so they were really functioning in a legalized, legalistic type of mentality. And so it was a little unusual, because I mean, I wasn't comfortable with it with the time. I mean, I have to say, I'm kind of leaning toward Michael's perspective here. But it was in that legalistic environment, I definitely was not comfortable with it. But I can see from Joe's perspective, I can see how the Lord breaking down that spirit of uncomfortable, that uncomfortable spirit, and just seeing the love of Jesus come through there, that you could be totally relaxed, totally at peace with the situation, with the Lord. So I can see both sides, but I just had to kind of relate that experience. It was a little bit tough for a little Baptist boy to handle at the time. So anyway.
All right, go ahead, Judy.
I think it's you. Okay.
So. Are you saying we can go?
Yeah.
Okay. When I was in the charismatic church, there was this pastor's wife that she would greet everybody at the door, and she would give hugs to the women, and she would give a hug to the man, but it would be like a side hug kind of thing. And that's how she said that the sisters should, if we're going to do that, that's a way we should do it. But she didn't put this on anybody, but I noticed when I was getting hugs from her, it was an encouragement. There was no, it wasn't like the, I started to notice the difference. That's when I first started really living for the Lord. And the Lord was showing me the difference between my flesh versus the spirit. And I didn't sense anything of the flesh when the hugs were given to me. And I was not from a huggy family. We didn't give hugs in my family. And there was 10 of us, 8 kids. But so I just, whenever she would hug, whenever I got a hug from her in the beginning, as she would be greeting at the door, there was just some encouragement I felt from that, you know, because it was helpful in the way of the spirit to me, you know, that's what I sensed. And sometimes when I feel like I really want to hug somebody, it's because I want to express that love, and it's nothing to do with flesh. It relates to the spirit, and that's where I noticed the difference. You know, like even when Brother Joe was mentioning about he didn't feel that it was physical, it was like a spiritual thing. Right. And I think that the Lord can use those things to impart his love. I know that when I was, after my husband passed away, I went to this one church, and I didn't know it was Baptist at first, and they made me, they said I could be a greeter if I want to. So I was greeting people, and I would hug the women if I sensed that I could do that. And then other times I would ask them if they wanted me to give them a hug at the door. And there's a couple of times, two or three times, almost every time I was there, I would give a sister a hug, and she said, oh, I really needed that. And it wasn't related to the flesh. Spirit, I think that she got something spiritually from that hug, like I have experienced before. So I think that that's, if we use it wrongly, I think we need to be, you know, led by the Lord in that aspect to some extent, depending, you know. But, you know, and if we're uncomfortable to do it, Lord won't have us do it. But, you know, I think that the Lord can impart stuff through that, just from that, you know.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Okay, Malcolm.
Well, with this kind of question, I know we're not officially discussing this until we have some time to study.
Well, I don't know. We've been going pretty good a long while with it.
This is just a prelude to the. It's just a prelude.
Yeah, okay. All right. That's fine.
Well, I've just, you know, from some of the accounts we've heard tonight, there are, in this country, there are subcultures, you know, these different groups that do kiss each other. You know, I'm like probably most people, I'm a little uncomfortable, but anyway, yeah, I was at a church that I was going to years ago, and this guy came up to me. By the way, he also wore tassels, which most people didn't wear, but anyway, he came up to me and he just gave me a kiss on the cheek. He wore tassels. I think he was, and I think he observed the feast days. And anyway, he was a anyway. So he came up and gave me this kiss. He said it is the holy kiss, and I go, oh yeah. So because I'm not going to say get away from me. You know, what do you do? I didn't have I wasn't going to jump away or something. But anyway. But anyway, it sounds like different groups are doing some of this here in the States, but certainly in other countries and other cultures, things can be very different. And I remember in Nepal, where I grew up a few years, I was invited as a guest to a wedding, and in the wedding they have a very bombastic brass band blasting away up in front as they parade through these narrow streets, and then the rest of the procession was all of us guests, including the groom. I guess the groom must have been somewhere up front, but so all of the men, the women are who knows where, or were, I don't know where they were, but anyway, all of us men were walking, and this guy that had invited me to the wedding, I was walking next to him, and he grabs my hand, and so we're in our 20s, you know, and he's, so he grabs my hand, and I thought, this is, let my hand go, you know, but, but anyway, with in that country, you know, men and women show their affection to each other, I mean, not men, with women, or, because the men and women are always separated in meetings. They sit on one side of the aisle, and the men on the other. Right? In those cultures, they just don't mix. But I don't know. Actually, I've been back for a while, so I'm not sure. But they used to always be separated. I think back in the time of the early church, back in the time of Paul. I think it's pretty well understood that the men would be on one side and the women on another in whatever room they would be in. They didn't mix. Yep. So maybe that was why Paul said that women should ask their husbands at home, because otherwise they're shouting across the room to the right. Their husband on the other side. Yep. Right. I don't know. But anyway, I guess... part of the question for me is, there are different cultures, and was it culturally conditioned? I mean, we've all heard these arguments. Well, Paul said that, you know, women are not to teach. And so people will say, well, that's culturally conditioned. We don't do that now. It's like, okay, so how far are you going to take, you know, how far are we going to go with, you know, the culturally conditioned thing? Just a lot of things to think about here. And obviously it was a different culture in Paul's day, and it was in the Middle East, and they have their own ways of doing things. We're in a different country here. So anyway, lots to consider there.
Amen. All right, Julie, go ahead.
Something that was just coming to my mind was, it must have been a common thing for them, you know, it was a cultural thing them to kiss upon greeting or whatever, but was also a sign that was given by Jesus when he was betrayed. You know, that was a sign that whomsoever I shall kiss, that he is, take him. And that was in Matthew. And in Mark, it says, I shall kiss, whoever I shall kiss, that he is, take him and lead him away safely. And so the other thing that I found in here too was in Luke 7:45, Jesus was in with, I guess it was Simon. I'm just looking at the verse because I just did a word search, but thou gavest me no kiss, but she, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. So it was definitely a symbolic thing. Yeah, I don't know if anyone else is getting anything else there, but I just felt like I wanted to share that. It was, it's very symbolic. You know, and when Paul was saying, I just did a word search on the word kiss, but Paul uses it as a holy kiss every time he says it.
Yeah. Yeah, Danny.
It seems like when you consider all those ones, what is being said is that we are to greet each other with love, you know, an expression of love in some way. Could be a handshake. I've been to some churches where you go to hug someone, they all are pulling back away from you and say, well, they just right. don't hug in this church, but they would handshake, you know. And so, you know, we're to greet each other and we're to love, with love, an expression of love. So, and I think you have a freedom on that. So, we had one brother who ministered in our churches when I was, he was a black man from South Carolina. He grew up as a slave. But anyway, when he was older, when he came to our church, he would always greet you with a holy kiss. But I think he's about the only one that did that. But you just learned to accept it from him. You know, you were in the, but we would just hug or shake hands. It could be just a handshake, and next guy you might hug him. It just depends. You know, but he would always greet you with a holy kiss.
Well, you know, Danny, as well as I do, that everybody here in this fellow, we huggers, we're all huggers here. It's the kissing part that kind of comes into play. But we do hug one another in love, in spiritual love, and it's acceptable. And the other, you know, that's just think of what, during Paul's day, that was the Greeks, right? It's mostly run by the Greeks and in the Middle East. And they did that, so I don't know. We'll do have to do a study on that and come back and talk. I'll have to come back a little more intelligent than I am tonight, because I tell you.
It looks like culturally it was both a Jewish culture and Greek. It was just that area. I know people that that hear from like Lebanon and Iran and that area. They do that as well.
It's all Middle East.
It's very much an Eastern thing there. Yeah, they have very much this one gentleman that I know who's Lebanon. I would hear him speaking in his native tongue, or he was speaking in Arabic, but I would hear him say Habibi to everybody, and I'm like, what are you saying? And he's like, It means I love you. It means you're beautiful. It means a lot of different things depending on. But he's like, he's talking to men when he's saying this. I'm like, okay, what's going on? So it's very much they greet each other with these loving and endearing words. So it's very much a culture thing.
Amen. Okay. How's that? That's why I kiss you now.
Yeah. I just want to say a beeb to all of you.
A baby, I remember what she said. What Julie said. A BB. Not a 22, it's a BB.
A BB. A BB. It's H-A-B-I-B-I, I think. That's how you spell it.
Okay. Well, we'll talk a little bit more about it next week and find out, you know, what these words mean. And, Greg had something in there in the chat. Let me see where it is. He said it may be worth bearing in mind that the Hebrew word for kiss is the same word for putting armor on. That connection will not have been lost in Paul in the three passages and in Ephesians 6. Well, that's something else to bear in mind there, you know. Yeah. Look up Hebrew meaning of that word.
Yeah.
The Greek meaning. Okay. We'll see, won't we? That's a good question, y'all.
Yep.
It's a good question. Don't never bring up another and like that one again, though. I'm just saying. No, I'm kidding y'all. I'm kidding you. Those are good ones because it brings a lot of discussion and we learn from them. That was a real good question. Okay. Anybody else? Greg says he's going to do a dissertation for us. Something about men were wearing high heels. What is that? Julie? How's Julie put in that the men were wearing high heels? Oh, my goodness.
That was when Pat was talking about the men kissing men that the church used then. I heard him say something about they're wearing high heels. Just wanted clarification.
Oh, my.
I was saying they were up on their tippy toes trying to give me a kiss.
I couldn't see how you fell now, Pat. Man, you're probably.
Oh,
I was back. Are
you sure that's what it was?
My back was against the wall.
I hear high heel. That's what I'm hearing.
Sorry about that. Mistranslation.
Greg says, I'll do a dissertation for you. My dissertation on men wearing high heels. Don't. Amen. No. Oh, my gracious. Amen. Okay. What I'm scared to ask is anybody else got a question or a comment? Malcolm. Okay, Malcolm. Go ahead, brother.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, even in this, you know, in whatever country you're in, you're going to have, if you have different cultural, different group meeting, they have their own way of doing things. I went to a Bhutanese refugee, they're actually Nepali people. And so I went and was going to their meetings and whatnot, because I speak a little bit of their language. And, but my goodness, they had, I mean, keep in mind that there were when we were in Nepal back in the 60s and 70s, there were very few Christians of the Nepali people. But in the many years that have passed since then, there are a whole bunch of them. And they've developed their own culture, their own way of doing things. Anyway, when I went to this this fellowship with these Bhutanese believers, the women were sitting on one side. They all had their head covered with this, like a shawl. And the men were on the other side, and they had a very distinct way of speaking. It was very, very formalized. And I've heard that in Nepal, but this was in a fellowship or kind of a church setting, this preaching, this kind of symbolic preaching. You know, I don't know if any of you have seen these Hindi films by the Bollywood, but they have this fighting that's very kind of arty fighting. They it's very stylized, and it's kind of anyway, there's just every culture has these different ways of doing things, so I don't know how much we how do we draw the line between dragging everything over from the Hebrew and Middle East cultures into whatever culture we're in. Of course, keep in mind, if we're a lot of us here are from the United States, and we have certain culture groups that we work in, but for other countries, it's going to be different. So, I mean, if you run into other people, it's going to be different. So I don't know. It's just, this is a very interesting question to me, because what do you do? I'm with Michael. I'm not kissy kissy. I think hugging is great. And I was thinking with Chad and Charity. When I see them, I give Chad an enormous hug with the greatest of vigor. Mm. And then with Charity, I'm a little more subdued. I don't get quite so carried away. I'll hug her just briefly, but with Chad, it's wonderful. So I just don't know. Anyway, back to you.
Okay. Try to hug and kiss a cannibal. That's what Doug Nelson said. Oh my. Help me, Jesus. Go ahead, Leon.
I thought I might change the subject.
Okay, thank you.
I live in an apartment building. I've got four apartments upstairs and four downstairs, and a lady just moved in. She's been there about a month and a half, something like that. And she moved in downstairs, and I was I gave her some salsa. I make salsa, and I gave her some one time, and then after last month's pot blessing, I offered her some of the leftover taco soup, and she declined that, but she took the salsa and so forth. But anyway, every time I see her out there, she's always smoking like a chimney. But anyway, I try and talk to her about the Lord, just little things I say to her, not preaching at her or anything like that. And then, but today we were talking quite a bit about salvation and so forth, and being under the curse and all kinds of things. So it was a good subject. So I gave her what are we reading? God's Vaccine book, and just generally told her about how that works, and how she mentioned that she got saved and baptized several years back, and but she hasn't been going to church anywhere. And I told her I don't go to church anywhere either, so that's not a problem with me. But I do attend a little fellowship, and but I was telling her that salvation, most people just, they say a prayer and think that they've gotten over the line, and then it's, that's it. That's all they have to do. But that's not what the Bible says, because the Bible says that you don't get salvation till the end. If you're enduring your faith to the end, that's when you get salvation. And so I knew that took her aback a little bit, and I said, So I gave her the book anyway, and then another guy walked up and we started talking too. But I think it was a pretty good conversation all in all. So the Lord setting up a couple of these things. He set up a couple of things for me lately where I could share, and not in a way of condemning a person about what they're doing, but just a way to share some good news, the real good news, and that's an important thing. So I wanted to share that with you, and her name is Gail, so if you don't mind, I'll pray, and if you guys will agree with me,
Amen.
Lord, I gave that book to her. You know the whole conversation we had and everything about it. And I pray that she reads that book and that she gets everything out of it that's meant to be shared in it. And that she, the light goes on and she says, aha, or something to that effect. And she learns a lot of things about salvation through that book. And that she just turns her heart over to you truly, Lord God. And that she's saved and sanctified and delivered. And just do a mighty work in her in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Leon, that is already done in Jesus' name. Thank you for bringing Gail in, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay. Yes, ma'am. Go ahead, Lana. Is this another question? No, you go right ahead.
It is another question. So as I'm reading Sovereign God here, I'm learning so much. It's blown my mind. But I do have one question, and I think I came across the answer a little bit, but I wanted to clarify. If we are living by faith and we're following God's word and not living under the curse, would it be correct to understand that when it comes our time to die of old age, that instead of dying, we simply transfer to a new body? Or how do you explain death at an old age versus death of sickness? Because it's still death. The reason I ask this is because my mother, when I had my conversation with her a few weeks back, she said that when I stated that COVID-19 had nothing to do with believers in Christ and that we were under his protection, she said, what are you talking about? We had prophecies that the Lord will use COVID-19 to take many of his people home. And that's the prophecy that was in one of their churches out in Tennessee. And many elderly people in their congregations have in fact gotten sick, and I doubt that some of them have passed away. But how do I explain to her that there's a difference between dying in sickness and dying of old age, because it's your time to go to heaven, your time to go home? It's still death.
Well, anybody want to tackle that? I can, but I'm gonna see if we can get some other people here involved. Anybody want to tackle that? Yeah, Greg. Yeah, go ahead. Who was that? Stephen.
Yeah, Helen was talking about her grandmother, who was born in, I don't know, 1890 or so, something in that range. And she was 93 when she died. She just died in her sleep. She wasn't sick or anything. She just didn't wake up the next morning. She just died in her sleep, totally in peace. And it seemed like that was just like her time's up and she just left. It wasn't like she was in any kind of sickness or anything. So I think that happens with some people.
Amen. That's what happens to most believers. Go ahead. Actually, Stephen, the Lord will gently tell them, you know, before they go. He said, you know, make sure you tell everybody back. Or I'm fixing to come get you.
Let me ask Helen, did your parents have a conversation with her before she died? Okay. I could remember if they had I think your dad did with this. Her dad knew someone was, I think his mother was going to die, and yeah, talked to her right before she died. But that, like you're saying, they know this is the time. It's not they're sick or anything. Yeah. It's not like they're, you know, it looks like they're dying or anything. It's just that this is the night that they go, or the day that they go.
I remember not too many years ago, a lady called that was a part of this ministry at one time. And her husband had gotten real sick. He had a heart attack or something. And this was during our morning meeting. And he is just out on the floor. And David had already brought him to Christ during this time that he was dying. Brought him to Christ. He forgave everybody, and he asked the Lord forgiveness, and asked the Lord to save him and everything. And then the lady, the wife, said, "No, you're not going." He said, "Oh, yes, I am." And she said, "No, you're not." He said, "Oh, yes, I am." And then he went home. And that was the way he went home. He knew that he was going home at that time. So if we're not under the curse, then we're not under the curse. Does that make sense? COVID-19 has no hold on us. When the Lord says that he's going to use COVID-19, and we've had the same prophecies here, Lona, that the pestilence is going to go through the church. That's to the unbelievers. That's the ones, and I'm not saying that they'll all go to hell. There's a lot of those are going to go to heaven, you know, because they were where they were, you know. But he's using it to cleanse the church. He doesn't use, when he takes his people home, they go home without disease and all of that kind of stuff. The believers I'm talking about. Remember what it says in Hosea, "My people die for lack of understanding." My people die from lack of understanding. There's no reason for them to die of COVID-19 if they don't want to.
First Corinthians 15:55 says, "O death, where is thy sting? O death, where is thy sting?" Next verse says, "The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law." So the sting doesn't belong to the Christians. The believers that are walking outside of sin.
What passage was that again?
That was 1 Corinthians 15:55-56. 1 Corinthians 15 is about the resurrection, the whole chapter. And so this is near the back of the chapter, verses 55 and 56.
Okay. Yeah, that makes complete sense. I don't believe that's something I can explain to my mother at this time. She'll just look at me and say, "I'm judging people for dying the way they do."
True. That's true. That's what happened.
Yeah. To me, it makes complete sense. When you're going home, you know you're going home, even though it's the physical definition of that is death. But when Jesus's preferred way to take us home is through quiet, peaceful, you're going home type of thing, not you're dying of COVID-19 because you are where you are.
There is a book, and I can't think of the name of it, where this guy compiles a lot of famous people's last sayings. And to the T, the ones that are Christians, true Christians, they left with a smile on their face. And the ones that were not were screaming and hollering and whatever, you know, that the devils were coming to get them. They died an unpeaceful death. So,
voices from the edge of eternity.
What is it, Larry?
Voices from the edge of eternity.
Okay.
At least I have that book, and it does have a lot of stories like
that. Yeah. That don't sound like the one I read, but that if it has those in there, that's fine.
Yeah, it has a lot of them in there, yeah.
Yeah.
Probably different.
Yeah. Yeah, Denny. I'm sorry, Malcolm. Go ahead, Denny, and then I'll get Malcolm.
Just a few verses ahead of where Steve read in 1 Corinthians 15:51, it says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery, we shall not all sleep, but we will all be changed." Of course, we understand that sleep is being dying, and falling, you know, death is like falling asleep. We shall not all sleep. I think there's another verse that mentions that. When a Christian dies, it's like falling asleep.
Amen. Yeah.
Yeah, parallel passage to 1 Corinthians 15:51-52 is 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. They say basically the same thing.
Okay, Julie, go ahead. I'm sorry, Malcolm. Let me get Malcolm. He's been down there waiting a long time.
Can well, that's I do okay.
That? All right, Malcolm, you got 2 minutes.
Okay. Oh, that's right. No. Well, that's prophetic time, right? Yeah. So I,
okay. Yeah. Yeah. So, go ahead, brother.
I was just thinking.
You're using up your 2 minutes here, Malcolm, by delaying.
Okay, that's 100. So it's a minute, 38 seconds. So I was just sorry. I was just thinking about David Eales's situation, where one time when he had cancer, the Lord told him he was going to die. So he pointed out to the Lord what the scripture says about that, and moved on. And then 15 years later, he was having heart problems, and or was it the other way around? But anyway,
no, that's
right. So and so. Then he realized that it was 15 years, just like with Hezekiah, which the text the Lord gave him about, you know, his previous situation. So it's 15 years, and time's up, buddy. But he argued with the Lord, and he said, well, wait, the Bible says this, and this isn't part of the covenant, so I reject that too. Both of those were words from the Lord. Both of them he rejected based on Scripture. So It sounds like we just need to know our covenant. And but the other thing I was thinking about was where Paul says the last enemy to be conquered is death. And so that's a very interesting statement, because Jesus raised people from the dead, and Jesus commanded his disciples to go out and raise people from the dead. So but I'm interested. That'd be another interesting discussion, along with kissing, and that is last.
The kiss of death.
Oh, no, I didn't mean that.
Oh,
anyway,
okay.
No, but just the last enemy to be conquered is death. And what does that mean? And when is it conquered? Obviously, we conquer it now in many ways by walking in faith and in When God says something that, and we remind him of what he said previously, and we, you know, so anyway.
Okay. Go ahead, Julie.
Thank you. I think, Lana, to answer your mom's question, is sometimes I believe, you know, it's as we, our faith is, if you believe or not in the Krish, you don't have to accept it, like Malcolm was just saying, and others. And I also know from experience with my own family, is God will use sickness and disease and pain and difficulties and that to prepare them to go home. Because he will take, with like my mom, you know, she went through a lot of things before God took her home, and she, you know, she had a lot of physical things happen and this and that. And it's like, you know, she was trying to do everything that, you know, they were asking her to do health-wise and by the doctors and stuff and rehabilitation, and just things weren't working out for her. And she's like, I just want to go home. You know, she finally just, you know, like, I just, you know, I don't know what else to do. I'm ready to go home. You know, and during that time that she was sick and everything, I know God was preparing her to go home. She made, you know, there's a lot of things that had to be done, but he was using that. And the same thing with my brother before he passed away. God was doing the same thing in his heart. And he went through a lot of things, a lot of pain and a lot of discomfort. But, you know, I was there for both of them when they died. And I know that they had a lot of peace. I know they had a lot of peace. And I know God had used all of that, the suffering they went through, physical illnesses and things, that God was working in their hearts. And so I think that's another reason why God will use sickness, his sovereignty over the sickness and disease, but it's be done unto you as you have believed. And like, you know, I'm not going out with sickness or disease or anything. I'm believing that, you know, with faith, and for everybody else here too. So I hope that will help answer your mom. When it's time to help answer to your mom, you'll have some more understanding of that.
Yeah, I think there will be other questions to talk about. But speaking of my mom, I'd like to ask for prayer. It's going on 3 weeks since I've talked to her. I mean, since I've seen her, and usually I'll call her every week or FaceTime her, and it's going on 3 weeks. And I'm afraid if I call her and things don't go so well, it'll be my fault. And since I'm not calling her, there's a good chance I'm still at fault. I feel as though that she's probably not forgiven me for what happened that weekend. But I need to talk to her. I need her to know that I'm her daughter. I don't hold it against her. And it's, you know, I wouldn't even know what to say. I feel like it's, if I try to reach out, it's going to be awkward and I'm going to be at fault. And as much as I'm willing to take on that burden, it's really painful to think about. And so if the Lord could arrange for something to bring us back onto talking terms, my sisters don't bother to reach out as well. They've all kind of distanced themselves since that night. And like I said, I'm afraid if I'm the one that's keeping the distance, I'm at fault. And if I call and they don't want to talk it to me, then I'm still at fault.
Well, let's pray. Let's do that. Father, in the name of Jesus, I looked up Lana and I lift up her mom and her sister. Lord, you know what's going on. I ask, Father, that you intervene by filling them all up with your love, because your love transcends any kind of unforgiveness or anything like that, Lord. And I thank you for doing that in this family. Bring them back, Lord, together in your love, because when your love is involved and not just filial love, it's a lasting love. Lord, I ask that you place it in Lana's mother to seek you with all her heart. And Lord, I thank you for placing that in her, that when she reads the word of God about love, that it opens up to her like a neon sign, and she gets a deep revelation of your love for her and how much you want her, how much you love her. And that will carry over into Lana and her sister both. And that this religious spirit, I bind you right now in the name of Jesus and cast you off of her. That you will not interfere in this family's division anymore, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that we're going to see your glory at work in Lana's mother and her sister, as well, all three of them coming together in your love, because your love is a whole lot better than our old fleshly love. That we got to be right and everybody else is wrong and that kind of business, Lord. We thank you for your love in all three of them, in Jesus' name. Now, Satan, I command you off of them in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you for placing joy, peace, and rest, and understanding and patience, long suffering in all of them, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, from this moment on, Lana's going to speak nothing but blessings upon her mama. Say, my mama is a mama of love. My mama's got Christ all over her. My mama, when she opens her mouth, ain't nothing but Jesus comes out. Whether she can see it in the natural or not, Lord. And she's going to see the fruit of her labors. And I thank you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. I know it's going to happen. How many in here knows it's going to happen? In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for the love that flowed through that family right now. And I thank you, Father, that she's going to hear from her mama. Rather than she calling mama, she's going to hear from her mama and know that God's working. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, for doing that for Lana and her sister and her mama. In Jesus' name. Amen. I believe it.
Amen. I believe it. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Okay, let's see. Pat, go ahead, brother. You got a minute and a half. You go right ahead.
Is that prophetic time or regular time?
No, you go ahead. You say what you got to say.
Lana, I just you mentioned that your mother's church received a dream or prophecy or something that, you know, people were going to die because of that, because of the COVID.
Yes.
And so God was true to form that people died because of it. But the thing that I was thinking is like what Michael said, that when scripture in Hosea there said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And even though those people may have been Christians, maybe Christians, or probably are Christians, there's a destruction that happens when you're not believing the truth in specific areas of your life. So, and why God would, you know, why that happens, or, you know, I'm not quite
sure. Well, can I tell you why it happens? I'll tell you why it happens. It's because they're believing that it's happening. They're speaking it out of their mouth. They're speaking it out of the mouth. And when you speak it out of your mouth, that's what's going to happen. That's the faith. It works in reverse, just like it does in the positive. It works in the negative.
Correct. And so in the example that Malcolm brought up about David, when he gave that example, that was the first time I've ever heard, having heard that story that David talked about questioning the Lord and rejecting what the Lord is bringing into your life. So now it doesn't fit your word, the scripture that you've given me to believe in up to this point. So I'm going to have to reject that and accept your word. I'd never heard about that before, but David has given us the example and has allowed us to, by believing that, don't receive everything that comes our way, including dreams. And I myself, I know I've experienced having a dream and waking up and then rejecting it and praying against it and taking, using it as the warning that God gives us. So, so I believe exactly what you said. Those people probably were Christians and they believed what they believed, and the result was the result. But one quick parting the scripture that kind of popped in my mind about you talking to your mother, and that is what Jesus said, go into a house and let your peace go to that house. And if your peace does not go there, it will return to you. And just realize that if your peace isn't being received, then relax with it. It's not time for it, and God will bring it around, you know, when it's time, I believe.
Yeah, very true. And I also wanted to comment that the churches we used to attend. The phrase, thy will be done. And so it's wrong. David obviously teaches in his books how, well, this is not true, but they promote this, that if the Lord said you're dying, thy will be done, Lord. If the Lord said, I'm not, you know, you can't find a husband, thy will be done, Lord. They don't fight against anything because of the lack of knowledge and because they're taught to accept everything that comes from the mouth of the pastor or the prophets. They don't search out the word themselves. So if the prophet said so, all they say is, thy will be done, and that's the end of story.
Hey, sarah, sarah, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Julie.
Julie, you got 1 minute.
Okay, I'll be real quick. Lana and Theo, what somebody shared with me when I was coming out of the church before I left where I was at and came into this teaching here was, you're outgrowing your religion, you're outgrowing the church you grew up in, and it makes them very uncomfortable when they hear you talk the way you talk. And it's not their fault. It's not your fault. And there's a really good teaching on the website. It's either in the late 90s or the 80s, early 90s, those two areas there. It's called Coming Out of the Mother.
I'll have to look that one up. And make a really good point.
I think it would really bless you and help you to be more week to the week, because they don't know. You're outgrowing, but the teachings you're getting here, you know, you're outgrowing the church. So you make them uncomfortable. You don't mean to, but
what's the name
it's
of
the
that?
Spirits. Coming Out of the Mother.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Coming Out of the Mother Church. You're coming out of the Mother Church. Mm-hmm. So you're just making them really uncomfortable, and that they don't know how to relate to you.
Okay. Yeah, I found it. I'll definitely listen to it. And yeah, I understand all that. And then at the end of the day, though, the enemy gets you with, it's your mom, and she's mad at you, and it hurts, even though I logically realize what's happening. So.
Yeah. Well, we've prayed now, so all we have to do now is just believe that.
Amen. God's working already.
Absolutely. Go ahead, Malcolm. You got 30 seconds.
Yeah, I did want to say something about when your mother is condemning you or disapproving or whatever, or I think this goes, this kind of a principle. Say you're standing in front of a judge. The judge condemns you wrongly. You know, people here have had that experience. And the question is on how, I think if we are conscious of the knowledge of God's stance toward us and the covenant that we're in with God, that he does not condemn us, of course, unless we're in willful sin, but our stance is not one of being under condemnation, but those around us are very free with their condemnation. So I think I'm preaching to myself. I think it's really important that we're standing in faith and we see these other people the way we're praying for that person, that they be delivered, that they're set free, they're happy in the Lord. So we see them by faith that way. And then for these evil words to come out, and the condemnation, that we have to reject that. We don't have to reject it to them. We want to be humble to them. But I think that has to do with spending time with the Lord and knowing the Lord's stance toward us, so that we're living in the sunlight of his face, even though we're getting bombarded all around us with condemnation. Anyway, that's all.
Okay. Thank you, Malcolm. Good words. Well, it was a good time tonight. It's good words tonight. Thank you, Father. Lord, that's what we asked for. We asked that you lead us, and that's what happened. And we thank you, Father. We covered everything. We got everything down now. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, place it in everybody to look these verses up, to study these verses, meditate on these verses, and get some words from you about it, Lord. Because you have the deeper meanings. And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for peeling that onion back layer upon layer upon layer. And we just praise you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, for being with us over the weekend. I just thank you for all my brothers and sisters. I always enjoy these conference calls. I don't call it a conference call. I call it a fellowship, because that's exactly what it is. And Lord, I thank you for blessing everybody tonight with a good night's sleep, as it says in Psalms 127:2. And we just praise you, Father, that Lana's mother and sister are all going to come together. And the next time we come together, we're going to hear the good report. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that all the prayers that we've prayed tonight are answered, because we have an open heaven with you, Lord. You hear our every prayer, and there's angels already on assignment right now. And Lord, we just thank you and praise you for all you're doing. And I thank you that Helen's foot is healed in the name of Jesus. And we just praise you for that. We thank you, Lord, that all the other prayers that we prayed, that they're healed too in Jesus' name, and their hearts are healed. And I thank you, Father, for being with us, filling us with your Holy Spirit, and leading us every step of the way. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good night, y'all. It's been a blessing tonight. Holy kisses, Greg says, from a great big. Amen.